This was a major breach of trust, and I'm really sorry that this happened.
Really sorry.
Our responsibility now is to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Because we need to make sure that there aren't any other Cambridge Analytica's out there. And make sure that no one out there is improperly using data. And that's, I think, the responsibility that we have to people in our community. You know, we have a basic responsibility to protect people's data. And if we can't do that, then we don't deserve to have the opportunity to serve people.
That is Facebook creator and chief executive Mark Zuckerberg speaking on CNN last night. It was Zuckerberg's first TV appearance since confirmation broke that Cambridge Analytica used pilfered personal data from more than 50 million Facebook users. Earlier, Zuckerberg posted a message on Facebook explaining how that breach happened and pledging to prevent it from ever happening again. By sheer virtue of its size, Facebook has become far more than just a one-stop shop for baby photos. The platform is a primary mode of communication for millions of users and the primary route to the internet for millions more. And the 2016 election showed that the very algorithms that make Facebook billions of dollars on ads are the ones that enable Russian interests, according to the intelligence community, to meddle in U.S. politics and drive narratives that sow division. So can Facebook handle all of these responsibilities that it signed millions of us up for? Ali Bohm is a policy counsel at Public Knowledge. They're an advocacy group working toward an open internet. Ali, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Ali, as we mentioned, Mark Zuckerberg posted an explanation and an apology to Facebook users. He explained how an app developer developed an app that got lots, 50 million users' data, and how he transferred it over to Cambridge Analytica. Mark Zuckerberg says that couldn't happen today because of changes that they've already made. Where are you on where things stand now with Facebook and its stewardship of users' personal information?
Sure. So I think the Cambridge Analytica moment is evidence that self-regulation for these platforms doesn't work. Facebook was already under a consent decree with the Federal Trade Commission to requiring it to take certain steps to protect its users' privacy and its users' data. It failed to do so. So I think this is the time for Congress to step in and develop comprehensive privacy legislation. Importantly, that needs to not just be about Facebook, because today it's Facebook, and today it's sort of access to data that exceeded authorization, right? So this researcher with Cambridge Analytica got the data in an authorized way. However, it was then used in ways that Facebook had not authorized. Or just a plain old vanilla data breach like we saw with Equifax, like we saw and I think actually got buried with all of the Cambridge Analytica with Orbitz just this week. So there are going to continue to be breaches of data and folks accessing data in ways that were not anticipated, even if they did have authorized access to that data.
I mean, Ali, there's two different sides to what you're describing. There are data breaches, there are unauthorized uses. And then when you look at the political end of this whole question of how Facebook's algorithms are used, it seems like it was used as designed when we look at the way outside interests appear to have pushed fake news, fake narratives on the platform. Two different sides of the same coin. How does that get regulated, or should it be?
So you're right. That's a completely other issue. And I think that one, the sort of misinformation, fake news, lies, if you will, that are being spread through social media is a much more complex issue to tackle, because social media, we do have self-selecting audiences. And so we do end up with fragmented sources of information. I think that that one is a hugely pressing problem that needs to be addressed, and that we as advocates and Congress should be thinking about how to address it. I think we have many more answers around the privacy data breach, exceeding authorized access to data questions, right? So we can think about, do we know what information is being collected about us? Can we meaningfully consent to that information being collected? Do we know where that information is being shared? Can we meaningfully consent before it is shared? Can we meaningfully consent to particular uses and decline other uses? Do we know how long that information is being retained? Do we have a say? Can we say, you know, after 2 years, I actually, you know, don't want to see memories on Facebook from 5 years ago. Maybe, you know, can I choose to say after 2 years, delete my posts from 5 years ago? I don't want that coming up again. And Europe is looking at some of this stuff in the GDPR, that's the General Data Protection Regulation. And so Facebook and the other platforms are going to have to learn to make granular user controls.
Ali, let's talk about how some of these regulations might be achieved, if indeed they are. You say comprehensive privacy regulation is required here. A lot of people right away blurt out that word utility. Facebook is so big and so important to access to the internet for so many hundreds of millions of people that it's like the phone company. It's like the electric company now. It's just a utility. Is it? And what would that mean if let's say, Congress decided that it was a utility?
Well, so let's talk about what a utility is, because that's sort of different from the idea of common carriage. It's also different from the idea of a public forum. So a utility is something that we think is so vital as a society that it is the government's obligation to make sure that everyone has access to it at a reasonable rate. So that's something like the phone lines are a utility. Electricity is a utility. My organization strongly advocates that broadband internet should be a utility. You need that to participate in the digital age. Facebook is not a utility. No one is saying everyone needs to have access to Facebook the way that you need to have a phone on every farm, right? People are choosing now to delete Facebook. Many people have chosen never to join Facebook. Facebook may have some obligations, and you know, we can think about what we want from Facebook. Do we want it to be something everyone has access to on an equal basis? I mean, that's something like common carriage. You have to accept all comers and charge them reasonable rates. That's like hotels and buses. But we don't say every community has to have a public bus system. That would make it a public utility. Is it something like a public forum where we say anyone can speak and share their opinion here subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions? So I think the question we should be asking is the concern and the harm that we're trying to address about speech and trust, or is it about the cost of an essential service and making sure there's access to an essential service?
Ali Bohm, Policy Counsel at Public Knowledge. Ali, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Chris Liggett from Atlanta, Georgia. My opinion of Facebook was never high. I only started using it to keep up with my children. Now I use it only rarely, just to find out what my motorcycling buddies are up to. Since the data breaches, I have reduced my use of Facebook to a few times per week. I've always had my privacy settings at the maximum.
My name is Joyce. I'm from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I use Facebook all day long from the time I get up in the morning until when I turn it off at bedtime. I've always assumed that they use my data and my friends' data in ways that I couldn't even fathom. It's the trade-off that you make when you sign in. I don't intend to change how I use it.
This is Rhonda Carr calling from Portland, Oregon. And I use Facebook to stay connected to family and friends. I will continue to use Facebook for that purpose. However, I am no longer going to be using it to connect to apps. And sadly, no more silly quizzes. I'm not sure how I'll find out which Facebook friend will bail me out of jail, who my soulmate is, or what my profile picture says about my future. But I guess I'll manage.
This is Les Hemmingson. I'm calling from Beaverton, Oregon. I don't use it. I don't trust it. I wouldn't trust it any more than I'd trust a poisonous snake. I believe that Facebook is living proof that you can get certain people to believe anything.
This is Nikki Mohammed Fauzi calling from Arlington, Texas. I am currently in the process of deleting the 47 or more apps that I previously allowed access to my data, and from now on I will scroll right past them and any of the quizzes or clickbait types of articles in the future.
Hi, my name is Damani. I'm calling from Brooklyn, and I use Facebook for both business and personal. It's not that our data is being sold that bothers me. It's the fact that companies purchasing this data may not operate ethically. And how can we blame Facebook for that?
So many of you takeaway listeners turning away from Facebook. It's been a great discussion. You can always leave a comment, of course, on our Facebook page where so many of you do talk to us. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.